This is Soho Radio. BB Lynch.
Hello everyone, what a beautiful day. It's as beautiful as sending her back. He really is the cockroach of presidents, isn't he? He put the cock in cockroach. Hey, I'm BB Lynch and you're listening to BB Does Soho on your fantastic Soho Radio. I'm all yours for the next 2 hours. Shall we do it? I'm BB Lynch and that was Aretha Franklin and Rock Steady. Hey, how are you? What's been happening? Me? I've had my eyelashes lifted.
Have you?
Can you see?
No.
I'm not wearing mascara because you're not allowed to wear mascara for the first 24 hours. So you don't think I've got good eyelashes?
I didn't say you didn't have good eyelashes. I just said I can't release. I am looking into the light though. So
do you want me to?
It's just a halo.
Everyone, just make your own noise. Look, listen.
Oh, yeah, I can see them now.
Thanks. Yeah. So I am officially the most beautiful middle-aged woman in this room.
That's probably right. Yes.
Thank you.
Do you know what? You never introduced me.
Yeah.
I just talk in the background. And
do you want an introduction?
People probably wonder who the hell this is.
Why the hell this, this is? That's producer Nick. Let me tell you about today's show.
That.
That's right. Our first guest. I'm so excited because when I'm going to put eyeliner on later, mascara, I'm going to put primer, then mascara, and these lashes, they're going to weigh me
it's
down.
It's hard work being beautiful, isn't
it?
I know.
Luckily, I'm clever as well. Our first guest is award-winning musical comedy performer, the brilliant Hannah Brackenbury. Hannah will be telling us about her fabulous show, Victorious, and all about her Soho. And in the second hour, we'll be joined by Love Honey's sex and relationship expert,
Ooh,
producer Nick.
Mrs.
Sammy Cole. I don't think she's a missus. Who will be revealing what makes us sexually happy?
Oh, well, sex.
Apparently it's not a hobnob. Apparently, I don't know. It's going to be a brilliant show, so please join in. Tweet at Soho Radio and at BB Lynch. Tweet and say hello. We would love to hear from you. Stop it.
What? Pointing at you.
So you really don't think my eyelashes look good?
I was cueing you. Okay. Is that what you meant by stop it?
I thought you were I thought you were counting my lashes.
No, that was a cue.
I think people don't want to hear this.
Well, no, I'm sure they don't. So why draw attention to it? See, the magic of radio, you just ruined it now.
I do feel really bad.
So you're still on about your eyelashes?
Yeah, I'm really sweating as well. Anyway, this is BB Does Soho, Soho Radio Culture, SohoRadioLondon.com, and click on Culture, and we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho
Exhausting.
Radio. And that was Beyonce. Did you see her cuddle Meghan Markle?
No, where?
There was some premiere of The Lion King or something.
Were you there?
I've been barred.
Do you know I've never seen The Lion King?
Why?
I never saw the cartoon and I never saw the musical. No. I just thought, you know, all those people on stilts and American accents, and it never really appealed. I just thought, well, the new one, actually, maybe I should. Should I just go and see the new one, or do I need to kind of see it?
I think you'll be fine without.
Okay. Thank
Coronation
you.
Street, that's a new thing you should try and catch hold of. So that was Beyonce and Sweet Dreams. Guess what? Our first guest is here. Welcome to Soho Radio, award winning. Musical comedy performer Hannah Brackenbury.
Yay!
It's so It's lovely to meet you at last.
I know. We've been connected for a little while online.
I feel like kind of God's tried to keep us away.
Yeah, I know.
Why?
It's been funny. I don't know.
We've got mutual people.
Yeah, lots of mutuals. Yeah.
God.
That's what happens in Brighton.
Hannah. So we're on the same train.
Yes.
And producer Nick always sends me a text. And I'm always picturing his face when he sends it because I think he's thinking, oh, Jesus Christ. And he always goes, hey, how are you? Are you nearly here?
Preparing for the worst.
And I was going, bloody hell. But we were on the same train. It was a good train.
It was a good train.
Well done, everyone. Well done. You did your job.
Yes.
It's rare, but occasionally you catch a good one.
You love Brighton.
I do love Brighton, yeah.
You love Brighton. So I came to see you, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Jay's well done on the title of the show.
You.
Amazing. At Fringe this year. And that's kind of your love letter.
Yes, it was ten years in May since I moved to Brighton, so it seemed like an apt thing to do, to put together a little show celebrating all the weird and wonderful things that I love about that place.
See, yeah. I'm still new.
Yeah.
So I've been in Hove. Do you know, actually, Nick, it's nearly 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I moved you down, didn't I?
Oh,
in a rented transit.
People, and it wasn't as sexy as that sounds. He says, moves me down, kind of got me out of London.
Yeah,
you did. And thank you for that. That was lovely. And I really, I love it. I have my London wibbles,
mm-hmm.
but I'm letting myself love it now.
Yeah,
and it's especially at this time of year. It's magical, isn't it?
It is magical. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I always say to, you know, people, friends who come down and visit. It's just like a little bubble. It's just its own little world, Brighton. Yeah. And
how do you get work done?
It's
hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. I live very close to the beach as well.
I live
just behind Churchill Square Shopping Centre, which is really close.
Nice.
The back of the Grand Hotel. So, the beach is very close and very appealing at this time of the year.
Do you swim?
Occasionally, not as often as I would like to. I'm not that brave, unfortunately. It has to be a very, very hot day to get me
you
in the sea.
You don't do the Christmas Day thing.
Oh, good God,
There's
no.
that club, isn't there?
Yeah,
on Christmas
yeah,
Day,
yeah.
they go skinny
They all go in
and
Christmas
really?
Morning, yeah, yeah, dressed as Santas and things, yeah.
Oh,
No.
See, instantly I'm thinking the seawater bringing that beard in the beard, and that's heavy.
Yes, yeah, that'd be weighty.
I think that's the least of your problems.
I think
a heavy beard.
But what with my heavy beard and my heavy lashes now?
Yes.
Did you like my lashes? No.
I think your lashes are beautiful.
Do you know what? I'm from
you.
Brighton.
Oh, are you? I didn't know that.
I don't live there, and I always think people who were born or grew up in Brighton move away.
Yes, yeah.
And just about everyone in Brighton now are kind of from everywhere else.
It's very rare to meet anyone in Brighton who's actually born and bred there. Yeah, people sort of migrate there, and the born and bred sort of escape. Yeah, but
we love it, and I'm embracing it fully.
Yeah.
So I saw All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Victorious, and you're performing Victorious at part of the Camden Fringe.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the show.
Yeah, so this was the show that I did at last year's Brighton Fringe Festival, and as a musical comedy performer, I'm very heavily influenced by the late great Victoria Wood. She's my hero for a long, long time, and watched her all through my childhood. I played the piano since I was 5 years old, and whenever there was anyone on the telly playing the piano, my mum would call, come and see, there's somebody playing the piano, just like you could be just like them one day.
So
nine
cute.
Times out of ten it was Victoria Wood.
Was
I would sit and watch her do her thing, and just adored her, and later in as I started to perform as in my early 20s, I wanted to be a regular singer-songwriter. I wasn't doing any comedy stuff at the time, but I would always throw one or two of her songs in at the end of a set if I did a gig, and always got a lovely, lovely response. And then she passed away so suddenly and so horribly, and I didn't know what to do. Lots of people said, oh, this is your chance to, you know, perform more of her material. People want to hear. And at first, when she initially died, I felt really uncomfortable about it. I didn't think it was the right thing to do to be. I didn't want to be seen to be profiting from her death, you know, promoting myself off the back of the fact that she died. So I left it a couple of years, and then just before last year's Brighton Fringe, I decided it feels like the right time now to put something together. And it's a very personal show. I'm not imitating her. I'm not trying to, you know, be an impersonator at all. I just love her songs, and they've influenced me so much over the years. So it's just about performing her material, keeping it alive, and sort of talking a lot about how she influenced me and how how I've come to be who I am because of her. Yeah.
And it's your stuff as well.
Yes, yeah. So it's a mix of some of her songs and a few of mine that are very much in her style. Yeah, yeah. A lot of my songs, people say, oh, that sounds just like Victoria Wood. So I've sort of thrown those ones in that are the most like her stuff. Yeah.
I'd seen the show. I was lucky enough to saw it last year.
When
I
did the showcase in January.
The beginning of this year. And that's the important thing to say, that it's not a tribute show. It's a tribute to her.
Yes.
But it's not a tribute act.
No.
But when you did your own songs, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm familiar with a lot of the famous Victoria Wood ones, but when you did some of yours, I wasn't sure. I had to look in the programme to work out whether it was your
original
or hers.
Which is the ultimate compliment.
Absolutely.
That's lovely.
And many of the people I were with said the same thing. It was just seamless and
producing it got in touch with me after.
Oh, really?
And just said, there's this woman, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I already know about her.
Yeah. So we met independently around the same time.
It would be normally foolhardy slash very, very brave to pitch your own stuff in a show against Victoria Wood.
Yeah.
But your songs are hilarious. They are brilliant. And we've chosen a couple to play today. Is this going to embarrass you?
No, it's fine. You
oh,
go for
that's
it.
A shame. Yeah. I quite like...
Well, I suppose it depends which ones you've chosen.
Yeah, okay.
Well, this one is Love Letters.
Oh,
okay. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a little song I wrote about my obsession with Scrabble. Yeah, and my... in the search for the perfect partner, it's very important that they should be a very strong Scrabble player.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
You know I love letters, and you know I love words, and I know it sounds funny, babe, and a little bit absurd, but there's something that you should know. If this relationship's gonna go to the next stage, but do you know what I'm saying? I don't wanna get naked, and I don't wanna fight. I just want you to play with me, baby, all through the night. Please don't make me spell it out to you, 'cause that just wouldn't be right. I just wanna play Scrabble with you tonight. Well, I follow the rule book, but I'm not keeping score. We can do it on the kitchen table, we can do it on the floor. Dip your hand in my velvet sack and line your tiles up on my rack. I just wanna play Scrabble with you tonight. Let's make love, let's make hate, let's make verbs we can conjugate. And if you win, if you beat me, maybe you'll be the one to complete me. My love for you just gets stronger as our words keep on getting longer. And I get horny, I get wet, yeah, when you lay down on my double letter. I don't wanna get naked, no, I don't wanna fight. I just want you to play with me, baby, all through the night. Please don't make me spell it out to you, 'cause that just wouldn't be right. I just wanna play Scrabble with you tonight. If you wanna get me to that chapel, well, you better be goddamn good at Scrabble. I wanna triple word score with you tonight. Show me that triple word score, baby.
So funny, so brilliant. As well, you've got a great voice.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, I don't mean that as well, but you know, I mean, they're not just really great songs.
Yeah.
Were you trained?
I've played the piano since the age of 5. I've done music and through school, college. I did a pop music degree at uni at Derby University.
A pop music degree. That's very modern.
One of the few universities at the time. This is 20 years ago. I'm 40 now. 20 plus years ago. There's one of the few unis that were offering anything like that at the time. There were only about 4 in the country. So Derby University was doing pop music and music technology. Yeah. So
what did you do? You had to write your thesis.
Yeah. Who were the tutors?
My dissertation was about the Spice Girls.
No.
Honestly.
Fantastic.
About manufactured bands and whether they had an authentic, you know, any
That's
authenticity.
Brilliant. And how useful has that degree been?
Well, not so much that part of it, but the songwriting side of it, and work. You spent a lot of time working in a studio and learning how to record. So, what you've just heard, I recorded that all at home with the skills I learned from that course. Yeah. So
that song, so we were obviously listening intently when we were singing, but also you said about kind of the process of writing a song like that. So when you write a comedy song, it's harder, I think, than writing a song because you're anticipating what the audience are going to anticipate.
Yes, yeah. You're having to hold things back more so. Delivering that punchline at the right time in time with music is a certain skill. Yeah, for sure. But
what was it about Victoria Wood that captured you? Captured everyone.
Oh goodness.
I think her songwriting skills, I guess, is just one.
But yeah, for me, it was always about her music and stuff. I would always watch the sketches and the stand up and stuff, but it was the songs that would grab me. I would sit just transfixed watching her material. I think she was just an ordinary person, and she wrote about ordinary people like doing ordinary jobs like dinner ladies. It was always something that you could relate to. It wasn't something that was, you know, outside of your world. You felt like she was talking about you and your world and the people you knew around you. And I think that was just an instant connection for so many people. And that's why she was just so amazing.
Did you ever meet her?
I didn't. I never even got to see her perform live. Yeah, I talk about that in the show in Victorious, the fact that I always assumed one day that she would tour again and I would get to see her and maybe even meet her. And, you know, maybe even if this career took me a bit further, she might get to see me perform one day. So when she died, it was, really heartbreaking.
But, did you have to get permission from her people?
I did, yeah. It was a bit of a long process. I had to. Well, this is the show that Nick was at, actually. I had to perform a showcase in London in January for a lady called Lucy Ansborough, who works for Phil McIntyre Entertainment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she was she used to be Victoria's agent many, many years ago, and they were very, very close friends. And she has been left in charge of looking after her literary estate. And so she's responsible for making sure her material is used tastefully and anything that's like what I'm doing is done respectfully. So I had to do a private showcase for her and a few of her representatives.
How come she was there?
Well, we all went along to kind of.
We had to fill up the room.
The
I didn't want to just perform literally to this one woman.
So, we
so I had 40 other seats.
Nick was doing the catering. How did you get in?
I was invited.
Oh.
Yeah, we filled up the other 40 seats with people who would, you know, be on my side. But yes, it was terrifying performing for her.
And when
but,
she came in, there was sort of these hushed tones.
Yeah. That's the important one. Yeah, I've never been more scared. But she was absolutely lovely, and she stayed behind and bought me a drink afterwards and said how much she enjoyed it. And gave me, you know, full permission to go ahead and perform more shows. And the nicest thing she said, which I nearly burst into tears, she said, we used to take Victoria to see a lot of terrible fringe shows, she said, but we think she really would have loved what you've done. So, goodness. It was the nicest thing. So now I'm at the point where I've been having to get together some funding to be able to do some more of these shows, but I'm now at the point where I'm now booking shows for the autumn and probably spring next year. I'm hoping to take it up north and perform it, you know, up in the real Victoria Wood part of the world where they'll hopefully enjoy.
That's
what
so brilliant. I loved her songs. Do you know what I loved about her as well? I just think that she was, if I was that funny, there's no way I'd share that gold. There's no way I would give my brilliant words to someone else to perform. But she was incredible, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Her script writing.
I think Julie Waters said the same thing.
Yeah.
All the
copycat.
Great, great lines she gave to the other actors. She didn't
rather than her have them, because she didn't think she could deliver them as well. Mm. Do you think that's why?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, who knows?
Extraordinary. When did she die? It was a couple of years ago now.
3 years ago now. Yeah, 3 years.
I want us to play another Hannah song. This is, it's a daytime audience. I hope we're okay with this, but it's the L word.
Here it is.
Mama, there's something I have to say to you and Papa. I think it's time that you heard the truth. It's been a long road, but now I know where I'm going to, and I am certain
It's not just a phase that I'm going through. I'm not like those other girls with their handbags and their makeup. Now I know what I wanna be, and it's time for the world to wake up. Darling, we have heard every word you've said, and sweetheart, we already found all those books underneath your bed. You're not like those other girls, but we love you for who you are. Don't be afraid to tell the world, be proud of what you are. You're a librarian. Order. A librarian. It's books that turn you on. So you're not like those other girls, but you'll always be our daughter. Well, it's a cruel world. There are people who will do you wrong because you're different. In your sensible shoes and your cardigan, but don't you listen. No, no, to the names that they're calling you. Don't you let it get you down if they judge you by your cover. So you'd rather take a book to bed than a rampant red hot lover. You're a librarian, a librarian, and librarians can cross-reference subjects like no other. A librarian, it's books that turn you on. And if that's your preference, when you're an ISBN lover. So you're no revolutionary, but you're damn good with a dictionary. And there's nothing ever overdue on your library card. No, no, you should be proud of yourself. If you ever get left on the shelf, just stand up tall and tell them who you are. You're a librarian. Your preference, well, don't you keep it undercover? No, if that's your preference, you're an ISBN lover.
The whisper at the end. Oh,
ISBN lover.
That's so funny. So I don't want to go here, but I'm going to go here mainly mm-hmm. because producer Nick has just said something to me that is so shocking and has actually moved me spiritually, emotionally.
This, you know, so
producer Nick said to me, ask Hannah about a budgie. So first of all, why am I asking about a budgie?
Okay, so Easter weekend of this year, I found a budgie in my back garden. Yeah,
no!
He was being attacked by a couple of pigeons. So I scooped him up and brought him into my flat and sat there waiting for a neighbour to come and knock and say, oh, have you seen my budgie? And nothing, sat for an hour. Thought, what am I going to do with this budgie? Built him a little perch out of Lego and a pencil. And took his photo and put it on Facebook and social media.
That's how I know.
So this picture of this budgie sitting on a Lego perch got shared 420 times over Easter weekend, all over the RSPCA sites trying to find out who this budgie belonged to. Nobody's ever come forward, and he's still with me now. And we're writing songs together, and we've recorded a parody, and we recorded a music video a couple of days ago.
Business?
He does great beats. him. Bees.
We're a great duo now.
Oh, this is, please say you've called him Jesus.
I haven't called him Jesus.
What have you called
him? Called him Bertie. Yeah.
Bertie.
Bertie the Budgie.
Well, well done you for being such a kind, caring person. And then producer Nick believes that a budgie in his life, a misgendered budgie.
It was a misgendered budgie. I'd totally forgotten about this. My grandmother had a misgendered budgie. When I was born, she got a budgie around the same time and called it Nick. And when the budgie was near the end of its short, sweet little life, it was quite sick. And we took it to the vet, and the vet commented that it was a girl budgie,
sick
not
Nick.
A boy budgie. So my grandmother renamed it Nicky.
Nicky.
Or before it died.
Yeah, and then she died.
And then she died.
Yeah. I mean, this was like, you know, between, this was very early. I was 5, 6 years old.
Nicky's had a budgie named after him.
I am
jealous. I've had songs written about me. I've had books dedicated to me. We had a bloody budgie.
What songs have you had written about you?
How dare you? We're playing one later.
Okay.
We're playing one later. Just shut up. We're playing it later. I need time to think. What's your favourite? I'm going to smash your face. What's your favourite Victoria Wood moment?
Oh, goodness. There's so many, aren't there? The classics, the classic sketches, her character, my mind's gone blank now. What's the character called with the tall, really, really tall? And,
I don't know names.
Gone completely blank.
Otherwise, she works in a supermarket.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. The teenage
red cabbage, how much? Red cabbage, don't know. Kidderminster. She comes from a place, Mrs. Gupta. She comes from a place, a dead big long name. What's it? Oh, yeah, Kidderminster.
I mean, there are so many. I mean, song-wise, I've definitely got a favourite song of hers. There's a song that she wrote called Andrea, which is about a teenage girl being trapped in a northern town and wanting to escape and having all these dreams and wanting to get out and make something of her life. And it's kind of one of those bittersweet. It's funny, but it's also kind of semi-serious. And she wrote a lot of those songs that were kind of on the edge of... They were funny, but they also tugged at your heartstrings as well.
Well, even her most absurd stuff, like The Girl That Swims the Channel.
Yes,
that
puts all...
That's really sad.
Really sad,
poignant.
Really
but it's dark, the lard all over her.
Really dark at the end where the parents are still sat watching telly. Oh, she'll come back, She'll make her way home eventually.
Not been seen
for weeks.
So Victorious is at our Phoenix Arts Club.
Yes,
That's the venue, isn't it?
Yes, beautiful place, beautiful venue that I've performed at a few times before. And, was really pleased when they accepted my application for my fringe show this year. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Phoebe is part of the furniture.
I am part of the furniture there. There is a Phoebe Poof on August 21st.
There's quite a few of them.
So Victorious is at Phoenix Arts on August 21st and 25th as part of the Camden Fringe.
That's right.
Where do you go after Victoria Wood? Because she's
it's tricky. I mean, I need to start writing some more of my own material for sure. I'm loving doing this show, and I do want to take this further. But after this, I will need to go back and start writing a bit more of my own material.
I've got an idea for you. You can have this.
Yeah?
You should do lots of shows after Famous Victorias.
That's
Victoria Derbyshire.
Yes.
Victoria Principal.
Victoria Principal, I was going to say. I can't think of any of
Victoria's
Queen
Secrets.
Victoria.
Queen Victoria, obviously.
Queen Victoria. Victoria. Sponge Cake.
Oh, Victoria Beckham.
Come on.
Plenty of material about
her.
Yeah,
you are welcome. So Victorious enjoyed a sellout run at Brighton Fringe 2018, won Broadway Baby's Best of the Festival in the same year, and earned some amazing reviews. Quote, at the heart of the show is a deep respect. For the late, shut up, budgie Nick. At the heart of the show is a deep respect for the late musical entertainment icon, a project born out of love and joy. Victorious moves you to tears and to laughter with a racy suburban rhyme and a tender touch. That's latest Brighton. This comedian is a class act. If Wood could have chosen someone to celebrate and showcase her work and demonstrate its influence on future comedians. I'm pretty sure Hannah Backenbury would have been on a shortlist, the shortlist, Broadway Baby. And this is lovely. This is from Richard Ranch. Hannah not only sings catchy and witty songs of her own, she gives Victoria Wood's catalogue the performance it deserves. That's really gorgeous. You must go and see it, everyone. It's at Phoenix Arts Club on 21st, 25th of August. Tickets from camdenfringe.com. And for updates on everything Hannah, go visit brackers.co.uk and follow her on Twitter at HBBrighton.
BB Does Soho. Lucky Soho.
I'm Bibi Lynch. That will never not be funny. I'm Bibi Lynch and you're listening to Soho Radio Culture, sohoradiolondon.com, and click on Culture. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our amazing studio on Broadwick Street. I'm joined in the studio by the wonderful Hannah Brackenbury, and it's time for My Soho.
Soho Radio. My Soho with Bibi Lynch.
So, Great Yarmouth.
Mm-hmm.
So, discuss. How great is Great Yarmouth?
It's where I was born. It's where all my family still are. And it has its great moments, yeah. But, yeah.
A lot of people go there.
A lot of people go. In the summer, it's buzzing. The summer, it's rammed and, you know, there's lots going on. But it's just in the winter time. It's not like Brighton, where in Brighton there's stuff still going on all through the winter. Great Yarmouth tends to go a little bit quiet in the winter, yeah, a bit of a ghost town.
So you're a little Hannah, you're in Great Yarmouth, your mum's dragging you to the telly every time someone on the piano's on it.
Yes.
Clayderman, Crush,
Mrs. Mill.
We know Crush.
Crush, Friendo Show, Dawson,
all the greats.
Yeah, all of them.
But you're dreaming of Soho.
Absolutely, yeah.
How old were you when you first came to Soho?
Goodness me. It probably would have been for a Pride event or for... not that long. I haven't been coming here very long, to be honest. It would have been since I moved to Brighton and got involved with performing and comedy stuff. That's when I started coming into London. Yeah, so I don't go very far back with Soho. All my Soho experiences involve gigging, performing, or getting trashed at Pride. Yeah.
So what did you think Soho would be? Well, why didn't you come to Soho? What was the fear of Soho?
The fear? No fear. No, just never had the opportunity to didn't know anyone here. It wasn't until I got to Brighton and got involved in comedy and that sort of world that the opportunities arose to come here and get involved with things happening here.
Did you have an idea of what it might be? What did it represent to you in your mind?
Yeah, well, the gay capital of the city, really. Yeah, that's all I knew about it before I got here, for sure. It's fabulous. I love coming.
And
coming
now,
up here.
So now you're here and you come here.
Now you're in a Soho shop window.
Now you're
absolutely
in a Soho
inner shop window.
Boiling glass cage. Do you have a glass cage?
No.
No.
A great glass elevator.
Yeah. So what do you think of Soho now? What does it mean to you?
I love it. I mean, it's great. Like I say, I love coming up here. More often than not, it's for nights out and for parties and things like that and for Pride events. So yeah, it's a great place to be. There's always lots going on and creative, and it's very much like Brighton. Creative people everywhere, crazy people everywhere. Just that exciting buzz he's pointing at you.
I really...
crazy people.
I really... with beautiful eyelashes. I really think, so when I was having my London Wibbles, and I said to you, producer Nick, and you were like, yeah, but there is a feel of Soho about Brighton. I really think
there is.
And I kind of love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Brighton traditionally, historically, was always London by the sea, going back to the time of Prince Regent.
I'm embracing it, and I've discovered some new alleyways.
Have you?
Anyway, there's a song for you.
I'm noting that.
There's
down.
Another song.
Noted.
Did you come to Pride?
I wasn't here this year. No.
Are you going to be at Brighton Pride?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm performing at Brighton Pride. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
I've got three spots over the weekend. So I'm at Preston Park on the cabaret stage on the Saturday afternoon, and then Saturday evening down on the Old Steen in the Pleasure Gardens. There's a stage down there, so I'm doing Saturday night and Sunday night down on the Old Steen.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So it's the 2nd to the 4th, isn't it? Pride,
yes.
This year.
What are you doing at Brighton Pride?
I'm just being fat. Just having eyelashes that people come and look at. Just hiring out. Just stop it. Just grow up, Nick. We always ask my Soho guests to think of three songs that for whatever reason remind them of Soho.
Yeah.
And your first one is I think we pronounce it Gaga, a Lady Gaga. Why have you chosen Lady Gaga?
Okay, so this very much reminds me of my first London Pride time. I performed at London Pride with the Short and Girly Show, part of an improv group based in Brighton called the Short and Girly Show. All queer improv troupe. Been performing with them for years. And we were asked to perform on the women's stage on Dean Street in 2015. And this was my first London Pride. And obviously I've been to Brighton and been to some smaller prides around the country, but I didn't really have in my head the size of what London Pride would be like. And being asked to perform on a women's stage, this was traditionally like a little marquee tucked in the corner of a park somewhere, and we rocked up for this sound check, and this was quite early in the morning. We were just sound checking, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people there, and I was amazed but terrified as well. But it was so exciting, and we did this brilliant show. But following us after that set was a Lady Gaga tribute act, and she was getting ready backstage, putting on the final touches of her makeup, and we all got our selfies with her, and then she stormed on stage and performed this song, which I'll just always remember. We all ran around to the front of the stage. Amazing. And were dancing away to this song.
Did she do it well? Was it embarrassing?
No, she
did it really well, Nick.
Really well.
A horrible question to ask.
There ain't a reason you and me should be alone tonight, yeah, baby. Tonight, yeah, baby. I got a reason that you who should take me home tonight.
Sorry, Hannah.
Say that again.
Lady Gaga, her real name is Stephanie German Otter.
Otter.
German Otter.
She's Italian, a German Otter.
It's German Otter.
German Otter.
Is it German Otter in the way you'd have
no,
a French Otter?
G-E-R-M-O-N-O-T-T-A. German Otter.
What a beautiful Italian. Name.
But German, her name is Stephanie German Otter. That's why she...
Do you think she's had? Do you think she's had a budgie?
Look it up.
I'm not looking up. Do you think she's had a budgie named after her? That man just looked at me.
Which one?
That one. Look at my. Oh, he's doing it again. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm embarrassed now.
Yeah, you see, he's pretending not. He's, yeah, we all looked up. And
he's really good looking, though.
It is a very peculiar thing doing a radio show in a shop window.
He's now running down.
He's now running, and he's going those eyelashes.
So who is that fluttering their eyelashes?
Who is that fluttering little? Flutterer. Hannah, can I ask you something? Mm. So you use the word queer.
Yes. Yeah.
Where are we on the word queer? So last time we did a show on Sussex and we were talking about it and two of our guests referred to themselves as queer and then another guest wouldn't use queer because he said he knew it triggered people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in kind of my social circles, that's the word that we use. It sort of covers everything. It covers everyone under the LGBTQIA. You know, it covers all as far as I'm concerned. You know, that's the word that I use to.
Is the would an issue
myself.
Be historically that it was used derogatory in a derogatory
yeah,
way?
That's yeah, that's my yeah. issue. I loathe the word.
Do you?
It
Do
really
you?
Triggers me. I really think it's
really?
A horrible word.
Why? Because
yeah. Because it has associations.
I just stuff. Keep laughing. I'm so it's because you've got a budgie.
You're just thinking
I was thinking of
you
in a budgie, a little budgie. I look at you and I see budgie. Yeah. Because it was just seen as an offensive, yeah.
Yeah. Which is
but
the,
you're reclaiming
which is,
it.
I think it's very much
it.
Been reclaimed.
It's reclaimed,
yeah.
Similar
yeah.
to sort
especially
of
in recent
the
years.
The N-word in
yeah,
American
exactly.
Rap
yeah.
culture.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's just a personal thing. I mean, I accept, I appreciate it is used. And it is quite a good catch-all term. It's using all those endless letters.
Exactly, yeah.
And it also relates to arts and being slightly more left field.
Yeah,
and,
very much so.
Can
so.
Queer be an attitude?
Yeah.
Rather than sexuality? Or is that demeaning? Say. Is that trying to grab something that's not mine?
I'd say it's all part and parcel, maybe. I don't know.
It's interesting, isn't it? Language.
Language.
You love
words.
Letters. You
love
words.
Letters, me.
I'm going to ask you some Soho questions.
Go ahead.
I don't know which ones you want to answer. So I will just say so. And
right.
if you want to do it, go, yeah.
Okay.
If you don't, go, no.
Okay. All right.
What's your favourite Soho bar restaurant?
Award-winning radio.
We'll work on that bit. What's your favourite Soho bar restaurant or venue?
There is one bar.
Say yes
Soho.
Or no first.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
carry on.
I accept that question. there is one bar in Soho which I've spent a lot of time, and that is the She Bar on Old Compton Street. Yeah, yeah. I've performed there many times. I've partied there many times. And, yeah, that's definitely my go-to when I arrive here. Usually go straight to She Bar for a drink.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, before you get... have like a refreshing cup of tea somewhere or a wholesome sandwich.
Well,
you go for
yeah,
alcohol.
It depends on time. Usually, 9 times out of 10, yeah, it's vodka and Diet Coke for me.
Is that what you drink?
Yeah, I'm a vodka drinker. Absolutely.
Well, by the time
yeah.
Southern trains get you to London,
yeah,
it's
midnight anyway. Because yeah, we're certainly not getting home the same night, so we might as well just go and get drunk. What's so great about the bar?
Oh, it's just
another
it's
man
just
looked at me. I'm sorry,
oh,
carry
really?
On. Carry
goodness
on.
Me. It's the eyelashes. It's just great. It's one of those underground basement. It's like a I don't know if you've been there, but it's like a long tunnel. Space and they have so much stuff going on. They have, you know, comedy and cabaret nights. They have a lot of drag king performers. The boy box night that goes on down there, boy box cabaret and karaoke. And then they have the disco and party nights and great DJs on. There's always something great going
and it's
on down there.
It's Street.
So nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that
and
sounds
it's,
good.
Just always a nice atmosphere. The staff are great down there. And yeah, that's the place I've spent the majority of my Soho time.
I tell you what, you've got five. Free vodka and Diet Cokes lined up because of that.
For them.
What's the best gig you've seen in Soho? Yes or no?
Yes, yeah, I can talk about Soho gigs. Probably the gig that I remember where I made a lot of friends at a particular gig. I was performing, I was a very small part of a gig at the Phoenix Arts Club, actually, that we were talking about. It was... the Pride's Got Talent competition, which I took part in last year, and got through to the semi-final, and that was held at this venue.
That sounds brilliant.
Oh, it was great fun. Cabaret, so covering all cabaret competition, and I was on the bill along with some just amazing performers, and Michael Thwaites, the drag king, drag queen, was hosting it, and I mean, he's just incredible, and Yeah, so this duo called Busty and Ginger, they went on to win the competition that year. I saw them there for the first time, and they just stole my heart. Absolutely, we were very much on the same wavelength in the style of comedy that we do. They do music and songs as well, and that's the first night I met them, and we've been pretty good buddies ever since. Aww. I perform with them a fair bit. They've been down to Brighton and done bits and bobs at some of my nights.
It's a social thing. It's nice.
It's very social. Yeah. So that's a memorable, very memorable gig. I met some great performers that night who I've sort of stayed in touch with and, you know, dragged down to Brighton for gigs and things. Yeah.
Would you do stand up as opposed to, would you not, would you drop the music?
I would struggle. I've thought about it. Yeah. I mean, obviously you've seen what I do. Songs, I have to do a little bit of chat in between the songs, but that tends to be very much scripted. I'd be quite terrified to go off script and like a real stand up. And,
you know, the security of sitting behind the keyboard.
But I mean, Victoria Wood used to say that. She used to say it took her a long time to step away. She started out just doing songs and it took her a long time to step away from the keyboard and do stand up.
But you could do sit down. So you could do comedy behind it. And never touch it.
Yeah, I could do, I suppose. Yeah.
God, you've got a lot of material from me today.
It's all being noted.
Hannah's a great sit down.
Hannah's done very well out of me today. Let's hear your second Soho song. So this is REM. Mm-hmm. Shiny Happy People.
Oh, what a tune. Yeah.
You love it.
Yeah. So this is later on in that Pride weekend, ending up very trashed sitting in Soho Square with several bottles of red wine and some unexplained bruises and somebody pumping out song after song. And then this song came on and I just remember we all had our hands in the air singing along to this song sat in Soho Square. Yeah.
Shining happy people laughing.
I love that. R.E.M. Shiny Happy
with
People.
With Kate Pearson from the B-52s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was that the last vocal then, that little voice going? Yeah. She's got a distinctive sound, hasn't she?
Yeah.
So, Hannah.
Don't look at me like that. Oh, Hannah, I do apologise. You see what it's like being me. It's welcome to my world. It's,
if money and time.
It's exhausting.
Is anyone in this room rich?
How to define rich?
As a like money. I'm so over not having money.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Oh, God.
Yeah, but we're rich in so many other
things.
No,
fuck that. I wonder if I've got a trust fund somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Check that out when I go home. See who's ill. She's got a nasty cough.
See who's ill.
if money and time were no object,
what an ambulance how, would you,
how would you spend your ideal Soho day and night or weekend?
Oh, goodness. Well, again, it would involve a lot of vodka, I think. I think it would involve...
gin's ridiculous, isn't
gin.
It?
Who'd
I love,
go for gin? I love the taste of gin. It gives me terrible tummy ache.
Oh,
I can't drink it. Yeah, it makes
gin
me really
vodka.
Poorly.
Gin is essentially flavoured vodka.
Mm. No, gin is not vodka.
It's
not made for potatoes.
No, the alcohol is the same. The alcohol base. And gin is alcohol with botanicals. I went round the Beefeater Gin Distillery in Kennington and they explained this
well,
to me. It is basically the same
didn't
thing.
Meanwhile,
that.
Hannah, if you'd like to answer your question.
I think it would involve some sort of pub crawl, bar crawl, up and down on Compton Street, to be honest.
That's up where, and down the stairs of Sheba.
Pretty much,
up and down.
Yeah.
Would you have food at any stage? Because I'm worried about you.
A bit of lime
and vodka
probably
and Diet Coke
doesn't count. Have to line the stomach at some point. If we're making a whole weekend of it, then yeah.
What's your favourite food?
I'm a big fan of Mexican food, yeah. I love Mexican. Yeah, some good Mexican restaurants in Brighton.
La Choza.
La Choza is incredible, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Soho Radio. Ladies.
Sorry, London.
Nobody cares about Mexican restaurants in Brighton.
So you have some Mexican food in, don't say Oaxaca.
Oaxaca.
No, you're not going there.
I didn't say that.
Why?
Because I don't like her.
Okay.
Because she said about. My God, I'm on this now. I was in a really good mood.
Oh, the waiter who got the...
Waiter who had to pay for the people that did a runner.
Yeah.
And also Thomasina Myers said that Theresa May had no compassion towards refugee children because she didn't have children herself. She has no compassion because she's childless. Yeah, that went down really well.
What's that got to do with Oaxaca?
It's got... Because she runs... she owns Oaxaca.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. I didn't know that.
Wow. So you wouldn't go to Oaxaca, but you'd have Mexican food somewhere superior.
Yeah,
And you'd have vodka and then a bit of music.
Mm-hmm. Bit of music, yeah. Take in a gig somewhere or find a decent DJ and, just...
And that'd be it.
Yeah, that just would suit me. I'm easily pleased.
Can we join you?
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. You paying?
See you there.
Mm. Oh. Victorious is at the Phoenix Arts Club on 21st, 25th of August. Tickets from camdenfringe.com for updates on everything Hannah. Go visit brackers.co.uk and follow her on Twitter at HB Brighton. It's been so lovely to meet you, finally.
And you. It's great to be here.
The show is going to be brilliant.
I'm not just saying this because Hannah's here. It really is a fantastic show.
The way you
seamlessly work in your own songs with her, it's just brilliant. It's a fantastic evening.
So we can't wait. Will you please, before you leave and go off in search of...
Vodka.
Refried beans, I was going to say, but vodka, sure.
Other beverages are available.
Can you please introduce your final Soho track?
Sure, yeah. This is a song that I wrote a parody version of, which I performed for the very first time at a gig called Laughing Labia, which a comedian called Alice Frick, Austrian comedian, she runs at the Q Bar in Soho. And this was the first time I performed this parody. And the version I do is about having a ridiculous crush on your GP. So it's called Dr. Love. But the original is You've Got the Love by Florence and the Machine.
Brilliant.
Sometimes I feel like throw my hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through. Sometimes it seems the going is just too rough. Anything goes. Thank you. to see me through. You got the love.
Soho on Soho Radio.
Lizzo and Truth Hurts.
I love Lizzo.
I love her more. Truth does hurt, doesn't it? Do you know what else hurts?
What?
Life.
That's
loving,
very,
loving,
very philosophical.
Loving a man who doesn't know I exist.
Are you still, do you still have that architect?
Literally talked over me. Carry on.
Well, no, what was I to say? No, I was going to add to it because you had this fantasy, didn't you, about...
Oh, James the architect.
Having a, yes... Your fantasy lover was an architect called James.
Yeah.
Didn't you go through the phone book? And
yeah, I did a little bit. Yeah.
To look up all the architects to see if anyone
spent
was
a happy
James.
Hour going googling, and then I spread my net to Worthing.
Really?
Yeah.
I think if you're an architect, you wouldn't you'd move from Worthing.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I looked in Worthing, just the Sussex coast, and London. And then I didn't just go...
Coastally based
They didn't
architects.
Have to be, just because I can't, you know...
Why James? Why did they?
Because... So I was out with my friend Nate and Jay and I were discussing my sex life, and Nate went, I know who you're going to meet. Like a name had come to his head. And I went, before you do it. And then I whispered to Jay, this is the name that I think it's going to be. And then Nate said the name, and it was the same name.
James. Yeah.
So we've decided it's James. And then Nate went into the old list. He's an architect. He thinks I'm hilarious. He's hilarious. Very dry sense of humor. He was hurt once, so emotional. So he'd never cheat. Yeah. You know, he doesn't have children. He's got a dog. Got two cars. I mean, he was really very lovely.
I
very
love
successful.
Your little make-believe world.
Yeah, I haven't met him yet.
My middle name is James, by the way. I'd throw that in there.
So, hey, welcome to the second hour of Bibi Does Soho. I'm Bibi Lynch, and you're listening. And your dad was an architect.
My dad was an architect.
Oh, my God. Do you find me attractive in any way?
I think you've got a vivacious personality that's very endearing.
You don't think, so you think I'm ugly?
No.
But you don't.
Why do you always assume the opposite?
I'm Bibi Lynch,
and
you're listening to...
It would be inappropriate for me to
You're listening to... You're listening to Soho Radio
Culture. Live on the radio.
SohoRadioLondon.com and click on Culture. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. Coming to you from our beautiful new studio, Hot Studio on Broadwick Street. Come down and say hello. If you're too shy to say hi, tweet us at Soho Radio or at Bibi Lynch. We would love to hear from you. So the brilliant Hannah Brackenbury. Yeah, I love her. Just entertained us with tales of her Soho. And in a few minutes, we'll be bringing Sexy back. Yeah. But first, ladies and gents, it's Saucy Salt and Perky Pepper.
Is it? No,
I regret that.
Something else. Is
Just
it
play
that?
It. Salt and Pepper. Play it.
This one. Here we go.
Spinderella cut it up one time. Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Avoid or make void the topic, cause that ain't gonna stop it. Now we talk about sex on the radio and video shows.
Many will know
anything goes. Let's tell it like it is and how it could be, how it was, and of course how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice: pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off. Will that stop us, Pam?
I doubt it.
All right then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
Make any man's eyes pop. She uses, she got to get whatever she don't got. Fellas droop like fools, but then again, they're only human. The chick was a hit because her body was booming. Gold, pearls, rubies, crazy diamonds. Nothing she wore was ever common. Her dates, heads of state, men of taste, lawyers, doctors. No one was too great for her to get with or even mess with. The press, she says, was next on her list. And believe me, you, it's as good as true. There ain't a man alive that she couldn't get next to. She had it all in the bag. She should have been glad, but she was mad and sad and feeling bad, thinking about the things that she never had. No love, just sex, followed next with a check and a note that last night was dope.
Take it easy.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Gonna play this on the radio.
And why not? Everybody have sex.
I mean, everybody should be making love.
Come on, how many guys you know make
love? Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's
Guess what? They wouldn't let me. I did a naughty thing then. I talked over right at the last bit. Fuck him. Guess what? Our final guest is here. Welcome to Soho Radio, love, honey, sex and relationship expert, Sammy Cole.
Hey, Sammy.
Hi, lovely to be
Sammy.
Here.
Nice to come up today.
Is it really nice to be here?
The studio is very hot, but other than that, it's lovely to be here.
It's boiling, isn't it? Your dress is so gorgeous.
Thank you.
How are we
much.
Describing it?
It's a
green
with big old flowers on it.
Big old flowers.
Floral maxi dress, which I thought was going to be nice and cool, but made an error
no.
in that.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
That
no, it's gorgeous. Well
Thank
done, you.
You.
Well done on your dress.
Thank you.
So we've had Love Honey moments here on the Bebe Does Soho before, of course, but this one is big. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain Love Honey?
Love Honey are the sexual happiness people. So it's toys, accessories, everything online to make your sex life great. Am I right?
Exactly, yeah. A sex emporium, as it were.
Sex emporium. Yeah. So Love Honey have undertaken this huge project called the Love Honey Sexual Happiness Study, and Sammy's going to tell us loads about it. Why did Love Honey start the project? You know, why did this happen?
Well, like you said, we're the sexual happiness people. Our aim is to bring a fun and fulfilling sex life to everybody. That's kind of our slogan, if you like. But obviously, everyone has a different sex life. No one has it's not a paint by numbers thing. And we wanted to get more of an idea of what sexual happiness means to different people at different points in their lives, and exactly what that looks like. So we decided to ask people to find out.
And it's a huge.
It is. It's
3,000 people?
3,000 people across the UK, Australia and America. We've got really diverse set of respondents. So we've got people who are in relationships, single people aged 18 to 80, really, really broad, different ethnicities, different sexualities, different genders. It's as broad as it could be, really. And it got some really interesting results, and it's massive as well. Like you said, there's so much data that's come out of it.
Does size matter?
Does size matter? In this case, yes.
In this case, God, yes.
Yes.
Do we, before we go into the findings, is there the kind of fear when you're putting together anything like this and when you're asking people?
Yeah.
Because people are ridiculous, you know that. I mean, we love people.
Yeah.
You,
I tolerate people.
Yeah,
I can't be near people, Sammy.
Yeah,
that's why I have a desk
that.
Between me and anyone around me. Do we trust that people are going to say the truth, especially when it comes to sex?
I think when there's the anonymity, yes. And I think when it comes to sex, people want to talk about it, and they want to be able to talk about it without any shame. So this kind of survey where it's all the data is anonymous, I think it gives people a platform to think about things that they haven't thought about before, even to themselves, and to acknowledge desires and that kind of thing that perhaps wouldn't have come up otherwise. So I think it is a really good space for people to do that and be honest about it. I mean, after all, in a survey like this, there's not really any point in lying, I don't think.
Yeah. What do the findings, before we go into what the actual findings are, what will you do with the findings?
So it's going to help us think about how we deliver that sexual happiness message in the future, how we support people, what people might need to know more about, what kind of products people want to see more of, that kind of thing. So it's just going to help us support that message of sexual happiness throughout people, throughout people's lifetimes and their sexual journey, if you like.
What I love about Love Honey as well is they're really a company that responds to feedback.
Yes, yeah.
That's key, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, I mean, we have so many reviews. We encourage the reviews on the website because we always want to know what people are thinking of the products. We have our forum as well, which is where people can get in touch with us. They can ask each other questions as well. So it's not just necessarily, although we do offer the expert sex advice from people like myself, there is also a platform where people can talk to each other and find out that what they're thinking about, what they want to try, what they have tried is perfectly normal, and other people are doing it and they can get advice from them as well. And we take that feedback on board when we're thinking about creating campaigns, creating products, because ultimately, if we're not creating products and campaigns and things that are supporting people, then how are we delivering that sexual happiness message?
So You're going to love this, Nick. I keep coughing. I've got hay fever. My throat's gone kind of weird. Well, you were just saying about, the findings will help people, get advice, and there's a forum and people, you can interact and get info. So one of the questions was, where do people get their sex? Who do people talk to about their sex to, sex life to, in terms of maybe just offloading or, any word I use now is wrong, but like offloading or just getting advice or, just finding out about it all. And I think it was 30% don't ask anyone. They don't talk to anyone about the sex stuff, which actually is quite a big number, isn't it? They keep it to themselves.
Which implies 70%.
70% do, which is good. Oh, I see. That's why.
It's thinking the other side again.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Always looking for the silver lining.
Yeah. Or a little bit provocative. It depends how you want to look at it. But anyway, so 70%.
You're the one that said offloading.
I know, I did say offload. So 30% don't. But of the people that do, the highest percentage, I guess, unsurprisingly, look online. So they look online for their help and their advice and their forums, and that's where Love Honey come in. But 2%, Nick, guess who 2% of people in Australia and UK and America, where the people were surveyed from, guess who they will talk to about their sex life?
You.
No, but that would be great.
They tweet you.
I wish that.
Who, apart from me?
I don't know.
Retail assistants.
Oh, right, okay. So while you're just sort of at the till.
I'll have two apples, please. Yeah. A salami. And two melons. Some lube. And what do you think about this? Like, whack it out. Don't you think that's just so weird?
Yeah.
Retail assistant. Yeah. Brilliant. I love it so much. See, we're going to... Sammy's
but it may not be Tesco's. It might be a retail assistant.
I mean, Boots and Chemist.
That's the thing, is we didn't get the feedback of where they were asking.
So you might ask the advice of an assistant in a sex shop, which is different from, being in Pret-a-Manger, isn't it?
Even a veggie press.
Even a veggie,
Hello, Greg.
Could I possibly... some sex advice.
Just a little bit of sex advice. Sex, it's weird, isn't it, sex?
Yeah.
It's nice. Is it nice?
Yeah.
You're in a good job. You're in the right job.
I'm very distracted by a gentleman outside in an emerald green suit. I think that is
a bold look.
That's fantastic.
He looks fabulous. He's very broad.
We should invite him in on the show.
I would like to invite him in.
Look at his shoes.
Well, I was thinking, do you think he's... Because there's a big gap between hem and shoe. But I think it's deliberate. I don't think he's made that as an error.
He's turned them up.
He's turned them up.
Do you think he's sexually happy?
No.
Or is that suit a cry for help?
He's sexually...
I think that suit will send him on the way to sexual happiness.
He's sexually happy. Well, I think he's sexually happy because he owns a mirror. Let's play a song.
Sorry to distract.
Sorry, no, it's fine.
Sorry, Sammy.
We're going to play a track and then we're going to find out more. We're going to go into the findings of Love Honey's sexual happiness study.
Brilliant.
Yes, I cried. Yes, I cried. Return of the man. your big brain. God save, I need a real man. Stop letting me down. Stop letting me down.
You're lying to me.
All those times I said that I loved you.
You're lying to me.
Yes, I tried.
Mark Morrison and the line that I use when my computer is finally returned to me.
Did you really just say that? I do apologise.
See, I was thinking when you swap over your winter wardrobe and you get all your old coats
exactly.
out again.
The line that Sammy uses.
When I dig out my old coat.
Nick's go. The line that Nick uses when he's not, it's not a whopper.
Yeah.
And it's not a fillet fish.
It's a large.
When he's throwing up.
Macintosh. Yes.
He's throwing up a burger.
Excellent.
Thank
anyway,
you.
So
excellent.
Radio live. We can't really edit this out, you know.
None of it.
That's
none of
there,
it's
now.
Out there. Hey, Sammy.
Hi.
Hi. which findings stood out for you?
I mean, there's so many.
It's so extensive.
It's so extensive. I mean, it covers things like the most important part of sex, how many people are using sex toys, their fantasies, whether they're sexually fulfilled or not. Like, it's really, really broad.
So what's the most important part of sex?
The most important part of sex, most people, they say it's intimacy. It's about building that intimacy with your partner, and it's not about the orgasm.
Ooh.
Which is interesting. But I think that's something that won't be a huge surprise to most people. That's... I wouldn't have thought.
No.
You're looking ponderous.
I can't remember. just looking back.
Are people generally sexually fulfilled in the UK?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the UK are the most... I'm going to have to remember the stat now, but I think it's the UK are the most emotionally sexually fulfilled. So we separated into emotional and physical fulfilment. And I think Americans lead the way on physical fulfilment, but the UK lead it on emotional.
And okay, what about the Australians? Where are they?
They're in third place.
So that's just out of those three nations.
Yeah, that's those. It's not the whole world. It's just the three.
Why did we choose those three?
Because they're the biggest markets for Love Honey, and they're where most of our customers are. So
they speak English.
Yeah,
they speak English,
and they speak English. Yeah, and some of the biggest populations as well.
Wow. So what was there a stat that you were like, what? I don't get this.
There was one which I found really surprising, which is that, and maybe it's to do with my own preconceptions, but 12% of over 65s want to be having sex once a day or more. That's, I mean, 12% is a much higher figure than I would expect that to be, and it did surprise me. Again, maybe because I'm 29 and haven't even considered that part yet, but it was something that I was really interesting to see and also really nice to see
as
well.
So be honest then, so when maybe before you started working in this field, what would you have thought, oh my god, they're that age and they're doing it?
At what age?
Yeah, would you have thought that's bad? You know what I'm saying?
I think if
you watch people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think I've always been like
happy for all the
people. Well, like, good for you, kind
good
of thing.
For you.
Like, yeah, no,
if
like,
you can,
yeah,
well
it's,
done.
It's kind of, it's inspiring in a strange way, but it means that, yeah.
I think that's changed, doesn't it? I mean, maybe 50 years ago that wouldn't have been the case, but, you know, older people are younger, in inverted commas, now than ever. But,
So it is interesting because most of the research, I mean, of course, I'm not going to give any stats. I will. But when you read features or stats around features on this subject, it's usually... older people will say that the sex is about intimacy.
Yes.
It's not about wanting sex or the orgasm. So they're more into the relationship and what the relationship will give as opposed to the physical side. So yeah, it is reassuring. It is good.
Yeah, it's really nice.
12%. What was it? And you went up to 80-year-olds.
And yeah, so the categories were 65 plus, but a lot of the people we asked were above that. You know, 65 plus is still a massive range of ages, and there are people from all within that range in the study. So yeah,
I'm
Rod Stewart, Mick Jagger.
Jesus.
What else?
So another thing was that 3/4 of people agree that a healthy sex life reduces stress, and that was something that I think was really nice to see, because it means that people they understand the importance of sex in overall well-being, and that it can play such a huge part in things like reducing of stress. Good English there. Body confidence as well was another thing that came up, general confidence. And actually 7% of people said that sex improves their concentration as well. Which I was quite surprised by, it to be that high.
How would you gauge that?
I don't know. And I also don't know if it's, you know, are they measuring the concentration during sex? Or is it after?
I think I read somewhere once that sex is supposed to be one of the best forms of aerobic exercise. So similar to if going to the gym, you know, you just literally get, you know, the body pumped and the juices flowing.
Yeah, it's a full body workout, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that just, you know, helps you just sort of clear your head and feel better and freer. And
if you're de-stressing, then you are decluttering your brain and your mind, and then you can focus. Yeah.
And I think another good thing about sex is that because you're focused on that moment, you're not thinking necessarily about the stresses that are on all of us day to day. It's a moment to kind of lose yourself in what's going on without thinking about that. And I think that's also why it's such a good part of stress relief.
Did you find any differences between the markets that you looked at? What were the big differences?
So there actually weren't that many huge differences in terms of what people are doing day to day. Like I said, the Americans led the way on physical satisfaction. But generally, they were all quite close together in terms of sexual fulfillment, people using sex toys. It seems like geography doesn't necessarily have that much of an impact on how sexually happy we are, but there are a few differences, and to be honest, off the top of my head, I can't remember them because there are so many stats in here. I've got it in front of me and I'm like, no, where is it? Which one was it?
Tell me about sex toys. Are people using them more?
Yes. So over half the people we asked are using sex toys regularly. 54% of the men we asked
Over half of the people you asked are using sex toys regularly?
Yeah. Or have used sex toys?
I think that's a really big figure.
Yeah, it's massive. And especially considering, again, the age range in that as well, because, you know, maybe people would expect that there'd be certain generations that might not use sex toys or might not have considered them or might not think they need them. But over half the people said that they have.
What do we class as a sex toy? Your left hand if you're right-handed?
I think it's anything that's not attached to your body. Yes. Something that's designed for sexual pleasure, I guess. Yeah.
Did it say which are the most popular sex toys?
It didn't say. Oh, yes, no, it did. I lie. I'm telling a fib. Vibrators came out as number one, kind of unsurprisingly. 45% of the people that said that they'd used sex toys have used vibrators. And there are also other things like lingerie, blindfolds, cock rings that came up as well. There was a huge range of them, but those were kind of the big ones. And also, sexual positions came up as a big turn on for people.
What, the actual position?
Yeah, so a lot of people, the way they increase their sex drive is to think about different sexual positions rather than necessarily, say, a fantasy involving a different partner or something. It's about changing up the position that so 51% of men and 49% of women said that a new position was their biggest turn on, and that was the lead.
I'm trying not to be graphic here. I'm trying not to be graphic here.
If you do the same thing over and over, then it becomes pedestrian. But if you sort of mix it up and maybe find a new.
But that just seems like such a natural thing that you would do anyway, that you wouldn't even think that that's something you need to think about spice things up. People.
Coming back to the sex toys and things, I suppose a lot of it's to do with accessibility. I mean, in the past, sex shops were seen as slightly taboo and people sniggered a little bit and there were blacked out windows. Now it's very open. You see them on the high street and also online, suppose.
I mean,
it's so easy to buy something online more anonymously. So people may be more.
Love Honey's all online,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah, Love Honey's all online, and we do completely discreet shipping. So, you know, it just arrives in this very innocuous nice looking box, so people don't have to worry about, you know, getting an inflated sex doll that's just been wrapped in brown paper or anything like that. It's
although that sounds quite a round. Now that,
maybe that was on the list.
Now that should be on the list.
Yeah, so it's all online. It's all anonymous. And I think sex toys and sex shops generally have, for the most part, moved out of this realm of CD and more into the kind of the wellness aspect and the intimacy building and something to share with a partner or on your own if you're on.
And as great as I think that is, I kind of miss the CD too. I think there's a place for CD.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
CD has its own appeal, definitely.
It does. Is there something in that? In that? How do you keep the taboo? If the taboo is something you need, so I guess that's where your fantasies come
in. If the taboo becomes accepted, how does it? Yeah, retain that appeal. I think just because something is more accepted, sort of societally, it doesn't mean that you have to think of it in those terms. I think you can build your own taboos in the way you respond to things and the way you and your partner talk about things and building that language around that subject. It's actually, it's more empowering almost because you're able to curate your own sexual experience and your own turn-ons, but you don't have to worry about things like accessibility and how you can explore those.
In the question about who would you talk to if you had sex issues, you know, advice or, you know, just wanting to kind of offload again, it's interesting that most people didn't say their partner.
Yeah.
Because that is the toughest thing. So whenever anyone gives sex advice, they, you know, you just have to talk. Now, I understand that. I even give that advice. I never give advice up. You know what I mean? I would say that. You just need to talk. And then I'll go, and that's obviously the hardest thing on earth to do, because you're saying that to the person it's about. You don't want to say it straight after sex because you'll never be having sex again if you do.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Well, yeah. I mean, so we found that 29% of people are looking online, but 31% did say that they do try and get that advice from their partners. So it's kind of even between talking to someone you're sleeping with and talking to the internet.
Your greengrocer.
Yeah, your greengrocer.
Uber driver.
Yeah, Uber driver. Put it in the review. But
great advice. Yeah.
We crashed twice. But I now know where my G-spot is. Yeah.
And, you know, 16% of people as well are still going to their friends for advice. And I think I'm quite surprised that number isn't higher, because that would be my first
your friends
call would be to go to my friends. But also, yeah, people going online, they're hopefully going to Love Honey as well to find these things out, because we've got so much advice on there. But I think it's about that shared experience, and I think getting that input from your friends is a great way to.
What if I ever went to you, producer Nick, and just said, look, I've got a sex problem, what would you do? Would it freak you out?
No, I would listen and
tell everyone.
No, I'd listen and give you my thoughts on the subject.
This is the man who rings me up to tell me I'm fat.
Did not happen.
Let's play another track, and then I want
to step away from that.
Step away, and I want to hear more about the findings. Yeah. So we've gone for a bit of a sex theme, because that's how my brain works.
This
I thought
is
it was funny.
Production. I thought you it was chose clever. All the songs have sex in them.
Except I didn't, and then I got bored. But this is Colour Me Bad, and I Want to Sex You Up. TikTok, you don't stop. Stop to the TikTok, you don't stop. Stop to the TikTok, you don't stop. Stop to the TikTok, you don't stop.
Inside, take off your coat, I'll make you feel at home. Now let's pour a glass of wine, cause now we're all alone. I've been
till we both wake up. Girl, you know I'm hooked on you. And this is what I'll do.
Sammy, he hit me on the head with his cock. That was Call Me Bad and I Want to Sex You Up. You're listening to BB Does Soho on Soho Radio. We're joined in the studio. Oh. I love honey sex.
22 in the afternoon,
sex and relationship expert. I'm really sweating.
Yeah,
it's Sammy cold. It's boiling,
it's
isn't it?
Warm.
Yeah.
You know you're not supposed to leave dogs in cars with the windows on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that, isn't it?
Did you just call us dogs?
I don't know.
I mean, people worry about the welfare of dogs in cars, yeah. But nobody's worrying about us being locked in a glass cube on Broadwick Street. That's what I'm trying. Carry on.
So, Sammy, Love Honey have done a huge sexual happiness study.
Yes.
And we've been discussing it. Were there any other findings that
were
jumped out at you?
Again, like I said, so many. One of them was about the use of sex toy apps. So there's a relatively new technology. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, called teledildonics.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Oh, I'm the face of teledildonics.
Yeah. That's a brilliant name.
Isn't it a great word?
It's a great name for a band. Isn't it?
And now the teledildonics, supported by. I don't know.
Love Honey.
Yeah.
See, Love Honey be a great three-girl band, vocal group.
There is a band called Love Honey, actually. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Over in America. But, so 15% of Americans have said that they're using sex toy apps, which, considering it's such a new technology...
15%?
Yeah, of the Americans we asked are using
Americans
it.
Americans are going for it, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're getting all out on the tech. It's, you know... It's clearly a big draw for them, but a bedside draw in some cases, I think. But hey, so these teledildonics is essentially a technology whereby you can control a sex toy using an app on your phone, and because it's Bluetooth, you can use it from anywhere in the world. So you can have someone in, I don't know, Melbourne using a toy, and someone in Manchester, which is amazing.
Yeah, so you could kind of turn up the.
That's just so.
Yeah.
Modern.
I imagine it makes long distance relationships a lot easier.
Yeah, I imagine. Although the time difference would be tricky.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, people are really, really enjoying this from the look of the survey. But, it's great to see.
So what kind of toys can you control by the apps?
So there's various brands that use this app. One of the most well-known ones is a brand called WeVibe, and they offer, there's a thing called the WeVibe Unite, which is a couple's vibrator, which can also be used during sex. You can get pretty much everything. You can get cock rings, you can get prostate massages, you can get G-spot vibrators. Anything that vibrates or has a motor in it, you can get a version of, really.
Would it work on a Tees Maid?
I hope it would.
So you would, so But I mean, that's important, isn't it, Nick?
A cup of tea is important, but as Boy George said, he'd rather have a cup of tea than sex. But what's that got to do with sex?
No, because if you would, I don't know, but I'm just saying you'd have, your partner in Manchester would make you orgasm via the power of his
teledildonic.
And then he'd go, and here's a cup of tea, love.
Okay. Oh, so you see that as a nice way.
So the aftercare, which is
aftercare is important.
Yeah.
How do we look after sex?
That's a happy finish for you. A cup of tea
and a custard cream. Just a custard cream. How do you look after sex toys? What's the best way?
The best thing I think that people don't necessarily realise is that sex toys should really be stored separately and not touching each other, because they're made from a variety of materials. And although some materials like glass and silicon are fine and they're inert and they can be stored next to each other, other materials like jelly rubber and I think real film materials as well, if they're stored touching, they can react, and what that will do is in some cases melt the sex toy. So you'll put it out to use it
together.
And it's going to look like a bag of hot wine gums in a car, that kind of thing.
Which would make for a fascinating evening.
It really would.
Can sex toys get each other pregnant?
I wish they could. Or do I? I don't know.
I don't know, do you?
That would be quite the reality TV show. Sex toy and pregnant.
God. What else?
Oh my God, there's so much stuff. It's trying to remember all of it. So one thing is that men and women, potentially unsurprisingly, have different experiences when it comes to sexual satisfaction. So, like I said, 63% of women have used 54% of men have used a sex toy. That's against 63% of women. But when it comes to actual sex, 91% of men will have an orgasm every time they have penetrative sex, whereas women, it's only 71%.
Orgasm
gap, which I think has been discussed quite a lot in the last few years.
Not a great band name.
Yeah, the orgasm gap. We've got a whole festival going on. Love Honey Fest. But yeah, so people are still reporting that this orgasm gap is alive and well and still kicking.
And do we know why?
Well, I mean, there's the age-old argument of physiology that's 70% of women need clitoral stimulation to climax, and generally penetrative sex doesn't do that unless you're doing it in a very specific position that's aimed to do that. But also I think it's people knowing their bodies, knowing what they need, having that conversation with their partner to tell them what they need. And I think that's something that a lot of us maybe are guilty of not feeling confident enough to do, is to tell people what we actually need to get there.
So there was another stat in this report that I was like, whoa, 5% of women have never orgasmed.
Wow.
5%.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah.
That's something else.
It would have been interesting to have these stats from like 30 years ago and to compare.
Yes.
Do you think the orgasm gap would have been greater decades ago?
I think I'm pure conjecture, but I think it would have been.
Yeah.
I think the openness about sexual pleasure is something that's really kind of a new thing, or is at least a new thing in terms of the last 100 years or so, or 200 years, because before that, way, way, way back, people did put a lot of emphasis on sex and pleasure. And, you know, we've got the Kama Sutra that's however many hundreds of years old, it was still a focus. But now we've got the ability to get the information out there. We've got people who are generally much more confident talking about their sex life, especially, you know, with greengrocers and butchers and whoever else.
Taxi drivers.
And taxi drivers. And I think we are, as a civilization, more sexually happy, and the overall findings of the survey do support that as well.
Showing that.
Yeah.
There was a piece in one of the papers the other day about another survey was saying about sex dreams and something like 50%, see, this is it. I'm starting an anecdote and I don't remember the stats, but it was a lot more. 50% say of women now have erotic dreams than compared to 10 years ago, whatever. And it was like, when the survey was last done, which was actually 66. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's because we have more sexual images around us. So it's around us. Yeah. And so subconsciously also, though, it's that we would say it. We would report that now.
Yeah,
we would actually say, yeah, of course, that's happening now.
Yeah. I read once that apparently the best position to have a sex dream in is if you lie on your front with your arms above your head.
Really?
Yeah.
We all
like
did
Superman-y.
It. We all
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not sure of the science behind it, but apparently if you go to sleep at night and you want to have a sex
I think
dream,
that's so then you can rub your bits against the duvet.
Is yeah. that why?
Yeah, because it's easier to do that, isn't it?
With your hands out of the way.
You know who dreams about me?
Who's that?
Stevie Wonder.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Someone I've needed so long. Once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I do. Oh, someone warm like you would make my dream come true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For once in my life, sorrow hurt me, not like it's hurt me before. For once I have something I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore. For once I can say, this is mine, you can't take it. Long as I know I have love, I can make it. Me, I'm not alone anymore. For once I can say, this is mine, you can take it. Long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. For once in my life,
Stevie Wonder, and for once in my life. I went to see Stevie Wonder a couple of weeks ago now, and it was a spiritual experience.
Life-changing.
I love him. I honestly love him. And when he was escorted onto the stage, when my friend Mick, thank you, Mick, when Mick got me the ticket, I cried. When I told a friend I was going, I cried. When Stevie Wonder appeared, I cried. Several times throughout the gig, I cried. When he announced his surgery, I cried. On the train home, I cried. Saw my landlord the day after, told him I'd be to see Stevie Wonder. Cried. I love Stevie Wonder.
I'm getting that.
I love him. I just wish he'd done more country. What's your final surprising stat?
So the final one that, again, stood out to me is, so we were talking before the break a little bit about how sexual happiness and how perception of sexual happiness has changed over the years, or may have changed. And one stat that stood out to me about this was the fact that masturbation is now, we're so much happier to talk about it and admit that we're doing it, like, you know, we're admitting something wrong. We're not at all. But 90% of people who surveyed said that they masturbate.
90%.
I'm surprised it's not 100, to be honest.
Oh, I'm not.
Really?
No. 91, I would have said.
91. 9%. But I still think that's a massive number. And I think that number, if we'd asked people even 20, 30 years ago, I think it would have been a very different figure. And it's great, I think, that people are happily talking about that.
Well, on the panel tonight, so I'm hosting the Love Honey Sexual Happiness Study panel tonight, and with Sammy and Auntie Jones and Honey Ross.
Yes.
And Honey's part of Pink Protest.
Yes.
And they talk about girls wanking.
Yeah.
Don't they? There's a whole thing about it.
Yeah.
Girls wank too. So I'm guessing there's going to be photos and facts.
I think that's an album name.
Yeah. That's the difficult second album.
Yeah. Teledildonics and girls wank.
So we can So how can people get involved with the panel? I guess we're just sharing stuff on Instagram so
yeah,
people can find out what's happening.
Yeah, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. If you use the hashtag sexualhappinessstudy2019, you can ask us anything that you might want to know. You can also go to the Love Honey website to see the study in full. It's www.lovehoney.co.uk/sexualhappinessstudy2019, and you can see all the findings there.
Absolutely brilliant. You know what we're going to do now, Sammy? This is me. This is you. I mean, you've only met me a couple of times, but I think you know how generous I am.
Oh, yes.
I like to gift producer Nick the gift of music.
Okay.
Nick, what have you chosen today?
Well, I thought to mark the fact that 50 years ago this very week...
Oh, no way.
Three men were on the way to the moon.
Oh, Rod, Jane and Freddie.
Rod, Jane and Freddie were
Mary Mungo Midge.
Which was an amazing thing. So also, 50 years ago this week, David Bowie released Space Oddity.
Amazing.
Obviously, to tie in with the Apollo 11
beautifully done
mission. So let's hear a bit of that and think about the moon.
Just think about the moon, Sammy.
Lie back and think of the moon.
Very quiet start to this, but here we are. Shh,
everyone.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
8, 7.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition
1.
And may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. I'm stepping through the door, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way, and the stars look very different today, for here am I sitting in a tin can.
David Bowie.
Space Oddity.
I love David Bowie.
You love a lot of people.
I really am full of love. Yeah,
full of love. So 50 years ago, that was released at the same time of the moon landings.
How brilliant. Well done, you, Nick.
Yeah, research, production.
Bit of research, making this contemporaneous, yes. If I may throw in the C word. Producer Nick, I like to give our listeners take home. So please tell me what you've learned from today's show.
I've learned that teledildonics is A, a word, and B, a thing.
A thing that has a word, has a name, has a word name. I can't speak. I need to say goodbye and thank my guests. Thank you, Hannah Brackenbury. Victorious is at our Phoenix Arts Artist Club on 21st and 25th of August. Tickets from camdenfringe.com. For updates on everything Hannah, go visit brackers.co.uk and follow her on Twitter at HBBrighton. Thank you, Sammy Cole. Thank you so
much. Thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure. Love your dress. I'll have it. Thank you. To find out more about Love Honey and their vast sexual happiness study, visit lovehoney.co.uk/sexualhappinessstudy2019 and follow them on Twitter at Love Honey. Are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter.
What are you on Twitter?
I'm the Sammy Cole.
There you go. Thank you, producer Nick. And most of all, thank you for listening. That's it from me, BB Lynch. Until next time, stay tuned to your wonderful Soho Radio.
BB does Soho.
Hey, BB Lynch.
On Soho Radio.
Hey, BB Lynch.